Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
It's time for another edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. First live show of 2017. How many times have you messed up writing a date? Still writing 2016. I'm sure you have. I've done it already like three times today. First live show of the new year. Great to be back in the studio now that the holiday seasons are over. No more best ofs for a while. Now, we got some fresh content for you today. Of course, we're going to spend a lot of time talking college football. The national championship game is set. We get Clemson and Alabama, rematch of last year's game, and I'm actually really, really excited for this contest. It's the bowl game, the bowl championship game, that I believe we all need. I think you got the two best teams in the country, number one against number two. Number two looked outstanding as Clemson just destroyed Ohio State. Such a lopsided affair. Alabama, offensively, they did not look very good against Washington, but defensively, this team was spot on. So many NFL prospects on this defensive unit. And so we get number two going up against number one, a chance for Deshaun Watson to get some sort of revenge for last year's 45-40 loss to Bama. For a, 6 days away, not a week away, 6 days away from this contest. It'll take place on Monday in Tampa at Raymond James Stadium. So we'll talk some college football on the show today. We'll bring in Antoine Staley, great friend of the show. He joins us each week to talk college football. There's plenty to dip into. Last night, we had a classic in the Rose Bowl, USC topping Penn State 52-49 in a game that Penn State should have won. If you do not like USC or you are a Penn State fan, you're watching this game just shaking your head at James Franklin, a guy that I thought was Coach of the Year, a guy who had brought unpredictability offensively all season long. And things were working for Penn State last night. They're up 49-35 with 8 minutes to play in this game. And the offense, who had scored on seven consecutive possessions, all of a sudden went stale. They played to not lose. They played to not turn the football over. Penn State went in to what is the prevent of offenses. And what makes Penn State so great is the fact that they're so unpredictable offensively. And then, down the stretch, McSorley, who had had a pretty good game for Penn State, tries to test the waters down the sideline, gets picked off, USC takes it back into field goal range. Despite missing two field goals in this contest, it didn't matter. Bormeister knocks through the game winner. USC are Rose Bowl champions. They finished 10-3. Brilliant end of the season for Clay Helton, a guy that a lot of people wanted fired when this team was 1-3 to start the season after a loss to Utah. Sam Darnold comes in. No problem for this guy. Wins over Arizona State, Colorado, Arizona, Cal, Oregon, Washington, UCLA, Notre Dame, and now Penn State. Not a bad way to start off the career for the redshirt freshman. He throws for 453 yards, five touchdowns, and one pick, which really wasn't even his fault, in the Rose Bowl. Terrific game. USC gets the victory. The Sugar Bowl last night, Oklahoma gets a win. We know that Baker Mayfield is returning next season. Oklahoma was losing this game 10-7 when Auburn quarterback Sean White left the game with a broken arm. And really, from that point on, I thought this game kind of lost its luster. Didn't pack the same punch. Oklahoma wins fairly convincingly in this one. Really, the most entertaining game outside of the USC-Penn State game, which was back and forth. The most entertaining game of the bowl season. Yes, this includes the playoffs, because neither playoff game was very entertaining. Exciting, yes. Entertaining, not so much. The most exciting bowl game, I really thought it was the Cotton Bowl. and I can't believe I'm saying that. Wisconsin, again, a team from the Big Ten, knocking off Western Michigan 24-16 in a game where Western Michigan outplayed Wisconsin outside of the first quarter. Wisconsin outscored them 14-0 early on. From that point on, Western Michigan really controlled that game. I thought that was very entertaining. We had the Outback Bowl yesterday. Florida just blasted Iowa 30-3. So a lot of college football to talk about. We'll dive into that here in just a bit. And some storylines with Nick Saban. Lane Kiffin not coming back. He will not coach in the national championship game. Instead, it'll be Steve Sarkisian. A little bit of a risky move here, in my opinion. I don't know that you can really blame all the offensive struggles in this playoff semifinal game on Lane Kiffin. I don't think it was his best job calling the game. And obviously, there's been some tension between Nick Saban and Lane Kiffin. I really had to dig deep to try to find an explanation. I've talked to a couple of people about it. I really don't have an explanation other than the fact that it's too difficult for a guy to take control of a new program and control the offense of a team competing for a national championship. I heard Mack Brown speak about this, and he was talking about when he accepted the Tulane head coaching job, and he was still a coordinator at the time. Mack Brown said he had a really difficult time trying to handle both duties because he was the OC at Oklahoma, and he took the head coaching job at Tulane. He said it was just too difficult for him, and so he actually had to part ways. Maybe that's the case. All I know is that Nick Saban and Lane Kiffin have not gotten along. There's been a lot of tension between the two. And Lane Kiffin's been sporadic, misses the team bus a couple of times. Nick Saban tells him to hit the road. The reason why I'd be concerned about this is because the relationship between Kiffin and Jalen Hurts has got to be monumental. When you have a freshman quarterback that takes you to the college football national championship, a true freshman, you'd have to believe that he's got quite the relationship with his OC. Steve Sarkisian's plenty capable of calling a game in the national championship. I mean, this guy has been around. But does he have the same kind of relationship with Jalen Hurts that Lane Kiffin had? I'm going to have to say no. I mean, Kiffin had a role in recruiting Jalen Hurts. So that's the only odd thing of the timing of Lane Kiffin being told to go away. That's about it. Quick rundown of everything that's happening in the national sports scene. 6 NFL coaching vacancies now open, and we will talk about that a little bit later on. So you have Gary Kubiak stepping away because of health reasons. No surprise there. Mike McCoy gets the axe in San Diego. Gus Bradley's already gone in Jacksonville. Chip Kelly, after one season, gone in San Francisco. The Niners become the first team since the late 70s to fire coaches in multiple years, back-to-back seasons. You know who the last team to do that? San Francisco. Already Jeff Fisher's gone. Rex Ryan's finished. What's the most sought-after coaching position? We'll take a look at that a little bit later on. I'll give you my perspective on it. I think, hands down, it's Denver. That's the job that any possibility, if you're a coach looking for a job, you would want to work for John Elway. Just my take on it. We'll go over that in just a bit as well. Let's take a look at the schedule in the NBA tonight here on KOAL. The Utah Jazz will take the court as they travel on the road to meet the Boston Celtics. Utah looking for their fifth consecutive victory. Right now, the Jazz in the middle of a very long road trip. Tonight here on KOAL, David Locke, Ron Boone, they'll bring you the play-by-play call at 5:30. Also tonight, Minnesota at Philadelphia at 5 o'clock. Also at 5:30, it's Indiana at Detroit. 6:30 tonight, Washington on the road to take on the Mavericks. Toronto will visit San Antonio. 7 o'clock, it's Sacramento at Denver. Miami at Phoenix. Nightcap tonight, Memphis on the road to take on the Los Angeles Lakers. That's a quick rundown of everything happening in the national sports scene. When we return, we'll talk college football with Antoine Staley, NFL football talk, and of course a local sports rundown, all straight ahead here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, your play-by-play home of the Utah Utes.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 107.3 FM, 750 AM. We have to talk some college football. Very eventful weekend. I got to be honest, the bowl season up until the last 3 or 4 days had kind of been boring. But I think we got some great games over the weekend, including yesterday between the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl and the Cotton Bowl. A lot of entertaining college football. Joining us right now to talk a bit about that, he's joined us all year long. He is Antoine Staley of the Palm Beach Post. Antoine, hopefully you had a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. It's great to get you back on today.
Thanks, Jordan. I hope you had a festive holiday season as well.
It definitely was. It was fantastic. It went by too quick, though, and I guess that's not necessarily a bad thing, right?
It always does. It always does.
Right. Let's start by talking about the national championship. We're going to get a rematch of last year, Clemson and Alabama. I'm excited for this. I think that it turned out these are the two best teams in the country. I mean, I had my doubts about Clemson. They've been a little inconsistent throughout the season. They looked fantastic against Ohio State. That may even be an understatement. I mean, they dominated Ohio State. Alabama, on the other hand, they didn't look that great against Washington offensively. Defensively, though, we know why this team has five or six guys that are probably going to be selected early on in the NFL draft. They're very legit on that side of the ball. I'm looking forward to this, Antoine. I think we got a great matchup.
I agree. I think this is the best matchup you could have asked for. I think you got a rematch from last year's classic game, the 45-40 game, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm curious to see how Alabama comes out offensively. Obviously, they were a little lethargic, to say the least, against Washington, which I think had a little bit to do why Lane Kiffin was let go. Said that Nick Saban didn't want him dreaming up the game plan for against Clemson, because he had 30 days. He had about 30 days to game plan for Washington, but it looked like I don't know if Lane was totally committed to it or whatever the case may be. It seemed like they were not on the same page, but whatever the case may be, yeah, I'm curious to see how Steve Sarkisian calls the plays, and something that he hasn't done since he's been at USC. So he hasn't been in front of live bullets, and this is obviously a big, great test to him playing a Clemson team that almost beat Alabama last year.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts did not look good, completed only 7 of 14 passes for 57 yards. But one of the things I tried to tell people throughout the weekend is don't look at that as a massive negative on Jalen Hurts. Washington has three NFL-type players in the secondary.
They do. They do. Washington, here's the thing about Washington. People hadn't necessarily seen Washington all year. A lot of people, unless you're a hardcore college football fan or you're covering the team or think something like, oh, you live out there on the West Coast. I think a lot of people were just saying, oh, it's a Pac-12 team. They're probably not that good. And they thought Alabama should have beaten Washington by four touchdowns or so. But, yeah, you're going to have the Huskies are probably going to have two or three guys taken in the first round this upcoming draft. They're a very talented team. They're young as well. So I think you're going to have the Washington Huskies. They're going to be in contention of getting back to the playoff next year along with USC. I think that's going to be a great battle between those two in 2017.
You talked about Nick Saban not bringing back Lane Kiffin. I think that Steve Sarkisian is more than capable of play calling, you know, of calling plays for the national championship. That's not my problem at all. The one thing I do worry about in this specific instance, and tell me if maybe I'm reading too much into this, I worry about the relationship between Steve Sarkisian and Jalen Hurts. That's what the OC's major job is at this particular time of the season, to have a one-on-one relationship with your quarterback. We're talking about a true freshman that has only played for Lane Kiffin as far as an offensive coordinator goes, and now you're switching that up before the biggest game of his career. That would worry me a little bit if I was a Bama fan.
Yeah, I mean, Lane Kiffin is a bit part of the reason why Jalen Hurts decided to come to Alabama in the first place. So yeah, that's obviously a great concern if you're an Alabama fan, because they've had a great relationship and he knows his strengths and weaknesses, and Jalen obviously probably talks to Lane Kiffin more than he actually talks to Nick Saban. So I think that's a great concern, obviously, as well. Now you got a guy in Steve Sarkisian, which I'm sure has been in the mix as well. He's been working as a consultant for Alabama, but at the same time, he just doesn't have that. I'm sure he doesn't have the rapport with Jalen Hurts as Lane Kiffin did. So I think that's great concern if you're a fan of the Alabama heading into the game against a Clemson. This is the best front line Alabama's going to face all year. Clemson has a very great front line, very active, can get out to the quarterback. Obviously, we saw it against Ohio State, and they got out to JT Barrett pretty well. Obviously, shut them out, and shockingly, shut them out, to be completely honest. So, yeah, I was definitely not the Clemson one I was surprised with, but just the manner that they did it. So, yeah, that's a definitely, I don't blame you for being concerned about that particular relationship between Sarkisian and Jalen Hurts.
Again, our guest right now is Antoine Staley of the Palm Beach Post as we talk some college football. I will talk about Clemson, Ohio State here for a moment. Shutout fashion, 31-0. Deshaun Watson finishes 23 of 36 through the air, 259 yards, two picks, one TD. Still making some rather poor decisions, I think, in the pocket. However, he was very efficient outside of the pocket in this game, more so than stepping back. I mean, when he's climbing up, he's been more effective. I don't know what to contribute that to. But again, when he is in the pocket, he has made some bad decisions this year. He can't do that against Bama.
That's what worries me. I want to pick Clemson to win, but he just makes a lot of unforced errors, to be completely honest. And you can't do that against a team like Alabama, because they're going to make you pay for it. I mean, maybe you can make one possibly, but to make two interceptions, especially early on in that game against Ohio State. Yeah, you just can't do that. You're going to have to play a relatively clean game against Alabama if you want to come away with the victory. And he's turned the ball over way, way too much this year. So, I think that's a legitimate concern heading into that football game. So, yeah, if you're Dabo Swinney, you're the Clemson offensive coordinator, you definitely want to try to get him rolling out the pocket, get him comfortable as possible, because you have him in the pocket standing there, especially against a Alabama defensive line that's just one of the best, if not the best, in college football. Yeah, you definitely don't want to have him just being a statue back there, and he's definitely going to get nervous and probably make some mistakes as well.
Was that the poorest showing that you've ever seen from an Urban Meyer team in a must-win situation game?
Yes. Urban Meyer has only lost, I believe he only lost the third bowl game he's ever lost.
Right.
He's been one of the best coaches in bowl games. So, yeah, you look at that. Yeah, I can't remember a team. I can't remember them looking too like that poorly in a bowl game. So, yeah, it was completely shocking to me.
Yeah, me too. I was blown away by it. I thought it would be the more compelling game, actually, of the two, and it turned out to just be a snooze fest. Let's talk about the Rose Bowl. This is the game that everybody's talking about today, and rightfully so. I mean, 52-49, it's not my style of football, but Penn State really got rolling. They scored on six or seven consecutive drives. They scored touchdowns. They were absolutely brilliant between the second and third quarters. First and fourth quarters, they didn't score any points, and USC grabs the 52-49 win. My assessment of this game, James Franklin got comfortable. Penn State's up 14 points with about 7 minutes to play in this contest, and it just seemed like Penn State started to play not to lose rather than airing it out. Unpredictability offensively went out the door. They were very predictable in the fourth quarter, and that turned out to be their undoing.
Yeah, I agree. Just stick with what brought you there. It got you the lead. So, yeah, I understand you want to be conservative. You don't want to turn the ball over. But at the same time, you're gaining rhythm. You're having a good rapport if you're Penn State in the passing game. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think they just got way too conservative and then could move the ball as well. And then that allowed USC to kind of take advantage. But, yeah, that was definitely – I know a lot of people – some people don't like a big offensive showings, but that was one of the most – probably the most entertaining game, at least, in the bowl season, to be honest with you. That was kind of like a video game, to be honest, on easy mode. But, yeah, USC, I definitely think they're one of the hottest teams. Next to Alabama, they're the hottest team in the country, and that game right there is probably going to give them some momentum heading to next year. They have a redshirt freshman quarterback who's going to come back next year as a sophomore and probably be one of the best quarterbacks in college football, honestly, and Sam Denard.
Yeah, Darnold was so good throughout the second half of the season. Really, I mean, he saved USC's season. We can call it what it is. Last night, he finishes 33 of 53 through the air, 453 yards, five touchdowns, one interception. That one interception wasn't really his fault. It was a deflected pass. He was so good over the second half of the season, and I think it's under the radar for the most part in the national spotlight, considering that USC has three losses.
Yeah, that's why I think it kind of took some pressure off of Clay Helton to say, you know what, we're just going to put the young guy in there. I understand he doesn't have experience, but, you know, we already have three losses, so what do we have to lose at this point? So, yeah, and it actually ended up working out for him, and now you got a guy going forward that one of the best quarterbacks getting in the next year. And like I say, it's going to give that team some momentum, and I fully expect USC to probably be a preseason top five team heading into next year, especially with the horses that they have coming back. Obviously, Alabama are probably number one, but you can make the case USC could be two, possibly even three, maybe, depending on what happens with Clemson and Deshaun Watson if he decides to come out in the NFL draft, which I fully expect he probably will.
The Sugar Bowl was entertaining. However, when Sean White went out for Auburn, things really went south quickly. I mean, they were leading 10-7 before that injury. Really, when I look at yesterday's games, I mean, the Florida-Iowa Outback Bowl was lopsided. Florida just runs wild on them. Wisconsin and Western Michigan was very, very entertaining. In fact, Western Michigan, actually, if you get rid of that sloppy first quarter, they outplayed Wisconsin over the final three quarters of that game.
They did. Surprisingly, that was the better bowl game out of those three that you mentioned. I thought Florida and Iowa, even though it was going to be offensive struggle for both teams. They're pretty much mirror images of each other. It's just the fact that Iowa just couldn't score and they turned the ball over. Obviously, you talk about Western Michigan and Wisconsin. Yeah, they definitely. I'm surprised Western Michigan was able to stay in it as much as they did, and they just kept fighting and But yeah, I thought that was definitely one of the better bowl games, and it's no shame in Western Michigan losing. It actually had a very good showing when a lot of people didn't think they were deserving to even be in a big time bowl game, more or less the Cotton Bowl.
Again, Antoine Staley, our guest right now, breaking down a busy weekend for college football. Antoine, before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work. I know, obviously, you're down in South Florida getting set for some NFL playoff football now with the Dolphins.
Yeah, you can find my work at Antoine Staley on Twitter. Also find my work at the Palm Beach Post. And yeah, it's a busy week for the Dolphins. Surprisingly, they start out 1-4, and now they finish 10-6. And the playoffs, they're going to be playing Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday afternoon. So it's definitely a busy time, unusual busy time of the year. We're usually doing exit interviews right about now, but yeah, it's a different time. Players are excited. Media is excited. Fans, obviously, they're excited as well. So, yeah, it's a good times down here in South Florida for the Dolphins.
Antoine, it's always so much fun to get you on and pick your brain about college football. Thank you again for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, enjoy. No, sounds good.
All right, we're going to pause for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up right after this.
Jameis Winston, if they had it to do over again, they might go different.
Having fun, relaxing, eating crab legs.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
And we're back on Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. First show with a brand new year. We've talked a lot of college football so far. We're going to move away, talk some NFL football. Yesterday was that dreaded Black Monday, where teams typically let go of their head coach. Really not too many surprises, maybe one or two. For the most part, we knew which coach was on his way out, and a lot of these guys were let go before the end of the season. And then there were a couple of names that possibly could have been out. Jim Caldwell saves his job in Detroit by getting the Lions to the playoffs. He'll be on the hot seat next year. Bill O'Brien will be on the hot seat next year. I think that guy's done wonders in Houston. Bill O'Brien wasn't the one that signed Brock Osweiler to a $72 million deal. Yet somehow he found a way to get that team into the postseason. Sean Payton will be on the hot seat. Marvin Lewis is always on the hot seat, but that guy's got nine lives. John Fox, that's a name that maybe I thought would be on his way out. Chuck Pagano, maybe. Todd Bowles, maybe. But really not too many surprises. Mike McCoy going in San Diego, not a huge surprise. The Chargers found a way to give away a lot of games this year. I was a little shocked with the breaking news that the Niners let go of Chip Kelly over the weekend, only because this team is now looking for a head coach for three consecutive off seasons. Because they let go of Harbaugh. Balky ran Harbaugh out. You bring in Tom Sula. Fire him. You bring in Chip Kelly. Now you're looking for another head coach. There's some problems in the NFC West between the Rams and the 49ers. So the six jobs that are open, the Broncos, that spot's available. Kubiak retiring or stepping away because of health problems, and those health problems go way back. Remember, he had major health problems on the sideline when he was with the Houston Texans. The Chargers let go of Mike McCoy. The Rams fired Jeff Fisher a few weeks ago. The 49ers let go of Chip Kelly. Buffalo let go of Rex Ryan, and the Jaguars fired Gus Bradley. And one of the more bizarre stories He got to ride the plane home with the team following a loss when he was informed that he was fired. I bet that was just an awkward flight. But those are the current six jobs that are open. I think for most of these teams, you'll see him grab coordinators, maybe first-year head coaches. Sean Payton's not leaving New Orleans. Throw away the Sean Payton to L.A. rumors. That's not happening. I think you're going to see a lot of coordinators. Matt Patricia from New England, stellar defensive coordinator. He's going to get a couple of interviews. I know he's got a couple lined up. Josh McDaniels, probably going to get a head coaching job. Kyle Shanahan, offensive coordinator right now with Atlanta, who has coached, who I believe is the league MVP, and Matt Ryan throughout the year. These are the hot coordinator names that are out there right now. Out of all six job openings, which one seems to be the most appealing? I don't even think it's close. It's the Denver Broncos. I don't even think it's close. I think this team is set up to have a bounce back season next year. You look at what they produce defensively. They faced the league's second toughest slate of offenses and still produced incredible statistics. And when you look at the advanced metrics, they're even better. They were the league's best defense against the number one and number two receivers and the second best defense against all other wideouts. They were fourth against tight ends and 14 against running backs. They can't stop the run, but defensively, this team is very close. And when you take into consideration what they have in the front office, John Elway is your general manager. I mean, that guy, head of football operations, that's who you want in your corner. He's aggressive. It's going to be a natural fit for whoever steps in. I want to say Kyle Shanahan. I want to say that's the guy that steps in Denver. It's the one team that I could see going with a retread head coach. It worked before going with Gary Kubiak. It could work again, but to me, that's the best coaching vacancy available right now. Outside of that, based on quarterback play, you have to go with the San Diego Chargers as number two. It's based on the fact that they have a proven quarterback who had a great season. But they pieced together a very underrated defense this past year. They were 28th to 8th as far as defensive improvement. So Mike McCoy did some good things. They have Joey Bosa, who you'll have a full season with next year. No contract dispute. Casey Hayward is another one that they brought in. The Chargers found a way to create several turnovers. 14.5% of opposing possessions they forced a turnover. That's the third highest rate behind Kansas City and Tampa Bay. And all this happened without middle linebacker Manti Te'o, who tore his Achilles at the beginning of the season. And if the Chargers can bring in, or re-sign rather, Melvin Ingram, they're shored up. You look at what they have offensively, again, the best quarterback situation out of all of the available coaching vacancies. And on top of that, Melvin Gordon looked great. In fact, he led the NFL in touchdowns the majority of the season. So I think this would be right behind Denver based on quarterback play, based on improvement defensively, having Joey Bosa back. The one drawback to the San Diego job, you don't know if you're going to be in San Diego or L.A. We should have a resolution to that within the next couple of weeks. And that, I think that helps that job even more. That's got to be tough. It's got to be tough to relocate a team. But that should be figured out here in the next couple of weeks. After that, I got to go with the Jaguars. I think that Blake Bortles played hurt half this season. I think he's a pretty good quarterback. Defensively, I think this team is pretty good. Jalen Ramsey's so fun to watch. I think defensively they improved drastically for the future. You know, you got Fowler, made some moves up front. Yeah, I'd have to go with Jacksonville. And they have a weak division. Strong talent base, weak division. And you got to remember the expectations of the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's not very high. Which takes me to number four on the list. And I'm going to go with the LA Rams. And I go with the Rams because they have a true talent in the backfield in Todd Gurley. Didn't have the best of season, but Gurley's offensive line is pathetic. Just how pathetic? Again, Jared Goff, who a lot of people are writing off, never had a chance to succeed this season. And if you watch Goff enough, I think there's a chance for Jared Goff to be a franchise quarterback. But you got to look at these stats right here. He was sacked 11% of the time on dropbacks. That's unreal. That's horrible. Offensive line is terrible for the Rams. They have to fix that. But you have Todd Gurley, who I think is a true talent. I think he'll have a better season next year if the Rams can start reworking this O-line a little bit. You have Goff. Got a pretty good defense. The front four is probably the strength of this team, although they did get a little weak this season. Robert Quinn is only 26 years old, cannot stay. He hasn't been healthy over the last two seasons. But you got Aaron Donald, you got Michael Brockers, probably the best 1-2 defensive tackle combination in the league. Just based on the pieces that the Rams have, I'd put them four. Not going to put them higher than the Jaguars because, again, that's going to be a tough place to play. It's a brand new market for this Ram team. Yeah, I know that they played in L.A. 20 years ago, but let's be honest, the market has changed so much. And L.A., it's full of fair-weather fans. I mean, they support winners. They're not going to tolerate losers. It's a tough environment if you were losing to coach this team. I'd put the Rams at number four. I think the Rams could probably be ahead of the Jaguars. They need a couple of pieces, but based on the competition level and the expectation, Jacksonville's a lot less stressful situation. The Bills have got to be number five on the list. There's some positives for the Buffalo Bills. I thought that Rex Ryan, you could have made the argument that Rex Ryan deserved another year. Not shocked that he didn't get it. But Buffalo, for a time, I mean, they were really a legitimate playoff contender. And I think they exceeded a lot of people's expectations. The situation is bad right now. They're looking for their sixth head coach since 2009. And as far as talent goes, you know, I'm talking about the Rams and the talent that they have to offer with Todd Gurley and their defensive front. Buffalo really doesn't have that. Is Tyrod Taylor a franchise quarterback? No, probably not. Doug Whaley is about to make his third head coaching hire, and you don't even know his future with the team. Dysfunctional mess right now. I don't see really any talent on that Buffalo roster. Taylor's gone for salary reasons because he's due to make more than $30 million next season. He's not coming back. So that leaves EJ Manuel or Cardale Jones, unless you attack something in free agency or you make a move and you draft a quarterback, which there's a few potential prospects in this draft. Buffalo's situation is not very welcoming, but it's better than what's going on in San Francisco. Huge mess to clean up here. Four coaches, 4 years. That's what's going to happen in San Francisco. Harbaugh, that was an ugly situation. Tom Sula was ugly. Chip Kelly, massive failure. Chemistry between the front office and the coaching staff, it's been a mess for years now. But it appears that there's going to be a clean sweep. You're going to have a new GM in, but you're really starting down from the bottom. Jed York probably wants to make some football decisions. I don't know, that's a bad situation in San Francisco. They don't have a quarterback. Carlos Hyde is probably the only legitimate offensive weapon that they have. Defensively, they're not very good. Yeah, it's probably going to be a 4 to 5 year project in San Francisco. But here's the thing that would scare me off of the San Francisco job. Unless there's some massive changes within the front office, would you want to work for Jed York? Because this guy has shown no loyalty to any coach. Harbaugh took this team to the Super Bowl with Colin Kaepernick as his quarterback, and he really was not showing a whole lot of love. Do you want to work for a guy like that? Maybe it's a different mindset with Balky gone. I don't know. But because of that, out of the six jobs, I got to rate San Francisco the worst possible landing spot for someone looking to land a head coaching job. Denver's definitely the top. There isn't a coach in the league that would not want to work for John Elway because this guy has a track record and he will get the Broncos in the postseason next year. Mark my words, Denver will be in the postseason next year. We've got to pause for a quick commercial break. Before I do that, I want to remind you to get on down to Marty's Pawn and Arcade, sports memorabilia galore. No team is out of market at Marty's Pawn and Arcade, located at 130 East, 100 South, and you can save some money by picking up a gift certificate at KOALBargainBin.com. We've got to pause for just a moment. We have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
He has amassed an incredibly large DVD library, and it is said that he never once alphabetized it. Every time he goes for a swim, dolphins appear. Alien abductors have asked him to probe them. He is
Jordan Buscarini.
Final segment of the day here on Drive Time Sports. KOL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. Do not forget to go to CastleCountryRadio.com. Get your weekly high school sports schedule. for both Carbon and Emory. Now, tonight, the Lady Dinos were supposed to take on Juan Diego. It was going to be one of a couple of home contests this week. However, that game has been canceled. So no girls basketball tonight for Carbon. The next time they take the court, it will be on Thursday. They'll take on Park City. That same day, the wrestling team will travel on the road to meet Canyon View. So we're getting back into the swing of things post-Christmas break. The swim team will next be in the pool on Friday. They'll play host to Gunnison, Richfield, North St. Pete, and Wasatch Academy at the Desert Wave Pool. Boys basketball team has two games this weekend, one against Tooele on Friday, and then the big one in a rematch against Emory on Saturday. That game will air live right here on KOAL. We have double header action coming your way on Saturday. The USU Eastern women's basketball team takes on Colorado Northwestern at 3, and then we got the Carbon boys game at 7. I love double header action of local basketball. Get a pickup from one school, drive to another. We'll bring you the play-by-play call. Emory High School also continuing their athletic season. Tonight, the girls basketball team scheduled to take on Beaver. To my understanding, that game is still set to go. Tomorrow, things pick up for Emory in a big way. The boys basketball team, they return to the court. They go on the road to take on Beaver at 7 p.m. Swimming team will be on the road against Richfield, and the wrestling team will play host to Beaver. Thursday, girls basketball again. Emory taking on Manti. Friday, the boys will start region play. They take on the Manti Templars at home. That's an important game as we get region action off and rolling. Right now, Emory, the number one ranked 2A basketball squad in the state, rightfully so. They've yet to lose a game. One of the only ones to do that. So a lot of exciting basketball action and swimming and wrestling. I mean, it's a perfect time of the year for high school sports now that the holiday season is behind us. And you know what else is coming up? The NFL playoffs. We haven't talked anything about the playoffs so far here on the show. Nothing. I mean, it's Black Monday yesterday. College football is kind of stealing the spotlight. But the regular season, it's over with. We have our playoff matchups. At the beginning of the season, we pick our representatives from each conference. At the beginning of the season, I'm quite proud of this. It's hard to peg your Super Bowl champions or your Super Bowl participants at the beginning of the season. I went with New England and Atlanta. And I went with Atlanta because our good friend Brian Mejia, he swayed me on Matt Ryan at the beginning of the season. He said, this is Matt Ryan's year. So I rolled with it. I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to put my faith in you. A prediction sure to go wrong at the beginning of the season. I liked the New England-Atlanta Super Bowl, but I thought Atlanta would have to go through Carolina to get there. I thought that Panthers team would come back hungry. I thought they would be a legitimate contender. I thought the loss in the Super Bowl would be a humbling learning experience and things. Instead, things went south in a hurry for Carolina, and they never recovered. But the Atlanta-New England possibility is still there, although you're hard-pressed to find a hotter team right now in the NFC than the Green Bay Packers. So the first round of the NFL playoffs, this is what it looks like. We get the Raiders against Houston, and this just seems like a bad matchup without Derek Carr. I mean, with him, the Raiders are a legitimate AFC contender. They dip all the way to the number 5 seed. Remember, they were really battling with the Patriots to potentially grab the number 1 seed just a couple of weeks ago. Derek Carr goes down. Things have gone south for the Raiders. They take on Houston on the road. That game will be Saturday at 2:35. Brock Osweiler will get the start for the Houston Texans. That's the $72 million man. Another matchup, we get Miami at Pittsburgh. We just talked to Antoine a bit about this one. Miami was 1-4, and they finished 10-6. There will be no Ryan Tannehill pretty much throughout the entire postseason for Miami. They're not going to get past Pittsburgh anyways. The Steelers are a dark horse in the AFC. Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, the most complete back in the NFL. Antonio Brown, probably the most complete wide receiver in the NFL as well. Pittsburgh, you got to be aware of where those two guys are on the field at all times. They're going to be a headache for any team in the postseason. NFC wildcard on Saturday night, Detroit at Seattle. This is a fun matchup. Jim Bob Cooter has done wonders with Detroit's offense, and Matt Stafford, who hasn't beat a team that's in the playoffs yet this season, he has a chance to go on the road at CenturyLink and knock off the Seahawks. Not an easy task. The Seahawks do not have Marshawn Lynch this playoff run, which is another interesting storyline in itself. That's going to be a fun game. That'll be on Saturday. The other NFC contest, New York at Green Bay. The Giants are sneaky good in the postseason every single time they get in, but the Packers are just too good right now. I mean, this team is on fire. Who do you give the MVP to? Aaron Rodgers or Matt Ryan? That's a great debate. Or Tom Brady. If I had a vote, I'm going with Matt Ryan. I'm going with Matt Ryan as the league MVP. I was sold on Atlanta at the beginning of the season because of Matt Ryan. He has not disappointed this season. You take a look at his individual statistics. They've been off the charts this year. 38-7 touchdown to interception ratio. 117 QBR. One of only three quarterbacks to average over 300 yards per game. Hint, the other two, it's not Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. One of the other two is Kirk Cousins. 70% of his passes completed throughout the season. Career highs all the way across the board. Played every game. And by the way, Atlanta has a first-round bye in the postseason. That's your MVP. We're out of time on the show today. I want to thank Antoine Staley for taking out the time. Tomorrow, NBA basketball, more NFL football talk. And of course, we're going to be talking college football throughout the next 4 to 5 days as we gear up for the season finale between Bama and Clemson. Great to be back in the studio with you. Happy New Year. I will catch you tomorrow, same time, same place. Be safe. I am out.